Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of 1 Samuel. Tonight is study number 98. And we're going to begin by reading 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 13, and the following verses. And they of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley, and they lifted up their eyes and saw the ark, and rejoiced to see it. And the cart came into the field of Joshua, Beth Shemite, and stood there, where there was a great stone, and they clave the wood of the cart, and offered the kine a burnt offering unto Jehovah. And the Levites took down the ark of Jehovah, and the coffer that was with it, wherein the jewels of gold were, and put them on the great stone, and the men of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and sacrifices the same day unto Jehovah. Well, we've been looking at this historical occurrence of the return of the Ark of the Testament, or the Ark of the Testimony, the Ark of God, coming out of the land of the Philistines after being in their land for 7 months, and now it's returning home to the land of Israel. And the 7 month captivity period is pointing to the duration of the Great Tribulation. So we're very interested in what happens once the ark leaves the Philistine country and returns to Israel, because this could give us some insight into what happens at the end of the Great Tribulation, and perhaps maybe even give us some insight into what happens thereafter in the days after that tribulation, since that is the time that we're presently living in, since May 21 has come and gone and the Great Tribulation, the full 23-year period, is past. Well, now let's take a look at these verses and see what we can learn. Beginning in verse 13, it says, "And they of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley, and they lifted up their eyes and saw the ark and rejoiced to see it." Now, this is interesting. It's very interesting that as the ark finally returns after this long 7 month period of being removed from the nation of Israel, it is now entered back into the borders of the land of Israel. And it comes to the town of Beth Shemesh, and we mentioned before how that name, it means house of the sun. And when it enters into the land of Beth Shemesh, it arrives in the valley. It comes to the field of Joshua, a Beth Shemite, and the ark stands there, or stood there, where there was a great stone. And it so happens at this very time, the people of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley. Now, is that a coincidence that at the end of the ark's period of time, as it has been outside of the nation of Israel, that when it finally returns, that it is the time of wheat harvest and the time of the reaping of that harvest in Beth Shemesh? Well, no, that's not a coincidence. Definitely it is not a coincidence, but we wonder, what could it mean? What is the spiritual connection? What is God trying to teach us by letting us know that the ark returns at the time of wheat harvest? Well, the answer, you know, surprisingly, many things in the Bible are very complicated, and yet once we have all of the elements spiritually in place, that is, we know the spiritual picture of the ark leaving Israel, of that ark which symbolized and typified the very presence of God with his people, and its removal forcibly by the Philistines, typify spiritually the end of the church age and God's judgment upon the congregations which began at the time of the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation and the end of the church were simultaneous. And so once we understand that, then we just search the Bible and we look for some related scriptures, related passages that speak of a wheat harvest. And we find one that will help us very much in understanding what's going on back in 1 Samuel 6. In the New Testament, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. And I'm going to read this parable that the Lord Jesus gave, beginning in Matthew 13, verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came, and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came, and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Well, here we have very similar language. We find there is a harvest, and it's dealing with wheat. And that's exactly the case in 1 Samuel 6. When the ark returns, they are reaping the wheat harvest in the valley. And God is giving us a parable here to aid us in our understanding of what that means. Now, the parable of the wheat and the tares, we do have a very good understanding of it because God has opened up the information that was hidden in this parable during the time of the Great Tribulation. And it was revealed as the Lord opened up our eyes to see that the parable of the wheat and the tares identifies with the churches and congregations throughout their period of time of the church age, that 1955 years from 33 AD through 1988. And it was during that time the gospel went out through the churches and congregations as they were established in all the nations of the world, and individuals were called to come in. And so they gathered in the churches, in all the various denominations. People came from nation after nation, and they congregated. They gathered together under the hearing of the Word of God in the churches that had been established according to the will of God in all the nations of the world. But at the same time that the true gospel was going forth, an enemy came, and that was Satan. Satan, who comes looking like Christ, and his emissaries also come as emissaries of righteousness. That is, Satan was able to sow tares amongst the wheat. The wheat would be representing the elect, those that are true men, true believers, those that God did save, in fact, in reality. When they heard the gospel, they received a new heart and a new spirit, and they came into the churches. But also did many, many others that heard the gospel, responded to the gospel call, but they were not elect. There was no change in them. They kept their same heart of unbelief, or a heart of stone, a heart that was desperately wicked. And it was never transformed. They never became a new creature. But they learned the ways of the kingdom of God. They learned how to identify themselves with Christianity, with the Bible, with the Lord Jesus Christ. They took upon themselves his name and called themselves Christian. And they all grew together. The wheat and the tares were in the same congregation. As a matter of fact, the tares greatly outnumbered the wheat. And they also could speak of the Bible. They also could hold to faithful doctrines. And so how could one tell them apart? And that's the point when the servants of the householder come and say, "Sir," in verse 27, "didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then has it tares?" And then it said, "An enemy has done it." And then they make request, "Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up?" But he said, "Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them." And this meant that during the church age, there was not to be a separation of the saved and the unsaved, the wheat and the tares. They were to grow together. It was not God's plan to make the separation, to distinguish between a Cain or an Abel, or distinguish between a Jacob and an Esau, to distinguish between saved and unsaved. They were to grow together. But it was said in verse 30, "Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." So this period of growing together was only to last until the harvest came. And then when the harvest time came, the implication is, well, actually it's stated, then the tares are to be gathered and burned, but the wheat was to be brought into the barn. And now we have learned for some time that this parable is teaching of the end of the church age, because during the Great Tribulation, which occurs really at the end of the world, we're in the period of time that identifies completely with the end of the world. During this time, God opened up the scriptures that had been sealed. And Daniel says in Daniel 12, verse 4, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." And that book is a reference to the Bible and all the many truths that God had concealed within it. And it was concealed through parables. That's the nature of a parable. It is to hide truth. And Christ spoke in parables. And these things could not be uncovered. They could not be unsealed if God didn't want someone to know the truth of his word. It wouldn't matter how diligent they were, how intelligent they were. They could dig and dig and dig, even the most faithful child of God, and pray and pray, and yet they would get nowhere in understanding if it were not the proper time. And God, he set a seal upon the Bible that it would not be unsealed until the proper time, the time of the end. And the time of the end came when the Great Tribulation began. Judgment began at the house of God and initiated. It began the end stage for this world. The end times, we could say, began at that point in a real way. And God opened up the scriptures. And one of the things that he began to reveal to his people was his plan to end the church age. that the corporate church, the churches and congregations of the world that are in America are found on practically every street corner, that these churches would not continue until the end of time. No, they would continue only to the end of the church age. That is, continue as God's representative, as the representation of the kingdom of God upon earth. It was not God's plan that they would continue on after the church age ended during the 23 years of the Great Tribulation. They would not be his representative during the time of the latter rain. He had another plan for that. And so the Lord opened up the Bible's information concerning this teaching, and it became a means, it became a methodology that God actually had established and hidden in the Bible in order to bring about the very beginning of it and then the completion of the separation of the wheat and the tares. Because the true believers heard that God had abandoned the church, the Holy Spirit had come out of the midst, and that it was time for them to leave, to depart out, and to leave the congregations. And God proved this as we studied the book of Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and Matthew and many other places in the Bible. We saw how God would say again and again and lay out his plan many times in parabolic language. And so the child of God, being convinced of this, realized, I must depart out. I have to leave my church. And yet those who were not true believers, for the most part, certainly there were some that were not true believers that also came out of the churches, but for the most part, this command, once it was activated, it particularly was effective towards the children of God who have a great sensitivity towards the commandments of God, towards the truth of the Scripture. And that sensitivity is not so with those that are not true believers. And as a result, the true believers came out en masse over the years of the latter rain as the Great Tribulation began to wind down. Until finally, by the end of the Great Tribulation, and the Great Tribulation ended on May 21, 2011, that was the exact 23rd year, the complete 8,400-day period, that finally, before the judgment expanded and transitioned to all the earth, to all the inhabitants of the world, that at that point, the children of God had left the church, and there were no true believers. There was no longer any wheat left in any church in the world. And then judgment day came. All who remained in the congregations were now bundled. They were bundled for the fire, as judgment day is typified by God as a day of fire and brimstone. And the fire began to burn them up immediately. Why is that? Well, we have to understand the nature of judgment day in order to understand and to realize how the tares were immediately burned, all of them on May 21. And that is, spiritually, what the judgment that God has brought about, the primary means of this judgment, is that he has saved all whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He has saved the sum total of the elect, all the children of God that God graciously ordained to be saved have become saved. There is no more. All of them, in all probability, represented by 200 million that we read about in the book of Revelation. They all now became saved. And so that means that once we transition into this period of time, there is no more to be saved. Therefore, God shut the door. He has no salvation plan for non-elect. He has no salvation plan for anyone who Christ did not pay for their sins. And so this all happened at once. The door shut. The book of life of all those who were named was completed, and all was done. And this meant that now, as we enter into the judgment on the world, that they experience what the church experienced, the removal of the gospel light toward salvation, and the door of heaven shutting, and God not working to save any longer. And yet this is the impact upon those in the churches, because they remained in the church where God had already bringing about his judgment, and they either refused to come out or they remained for whatever reason. They then went from a bad situation. It was bad. It was horrible in the churches throughout the Great Tribulation, but at least there was still salvation outside of the churches in the world. And so they went from that bad situation to a much worse situation. And that is, from their position of no salvation in the church, the transition was made to no salvation possible anywhere in the world. And this condemned them and immediately burnt them up, because there was no way they could have heard the gospel in the churches and become saved prior to May 21 if they remain. And now the judgment has expanded. There's no way they can hear the gospel outside of the churches, even if they were to come out and become saved. So this, in effect, has brought about their fiery destruction. And that's what God is referring to when he says, gather first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. And that is exactly what happened. Now, further on in Matthew 13, the Lord Jesus gives the answers to the parable. He explains this parable. And it says in Matthew 13, in verse 37, he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels or messengers. Now we want to stop here at verse 39, because we read this and we think, oh, well, this won't happen until the world's over, until God comes and destroys the earth and everything else. But that would be a wrong understanding. The word world is not the word cosmos. It's a different word. It's a Greek word, aeon. And this word is translated as age in some places. It actually is a very interesting word that we won't have time in this particular study to go through it, but we can very legitimately read this. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the messengers. Now that gives a different understanding entirely, because now we realize that, yes, a particular age has passed. The day of salvation has ended. The time where God was saving has come to a close. And so this is the age that's in view here. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the messengers. It goes on in verse 40. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. It says again in the King James, but that's the same Greek word, aeon, the end of this age. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels or messengers, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now the Son of Man is sending his reapers. The reapers are the angels or messengers. The true believers are the reapers. And by the Lord's opening the scriptures and showing his people by revealing these truths that have been sealed up until the time of the end, God has made us active participants in his judgment plan and in the carrying out in this process of judging the earth. We judge with him, and we, of course, we don't point the finger at anyone. We just declare what the Bible says. And so the messengers are the ones that are said to gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. As the Lord has opened up our eyes, we declare these things. And this began back when God's people were saying that the church age was over. That began the process. It was the true believers, the messengers of God, that shared the information with the world and with those in the churches, and it began gathering out of his kingdom all things that offend. And it's the true believers, as God opens up our eyes to the spiritual fire that is burning since May 21, as we continue into this day of judgment, that basically teaches that those tares that are in the churches are cast into a furnace of fire. It's not literal. It's just the understanding that is gathered as God brings this information to our eyes and then shared with others. And in this way, God is fulfilling Scripture. Now it says there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And we would have to go to other places, but Luke 13, verses 24 through 28 or 29, explains and lays out that once the door is shut, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That identifies again with May 21. Well, we'll continue looking at this a little bit longer in our next study, and then we'll return to 1 Samuel 6, and we'll see how it does fit very well that the ark at the end of its 7-month captivity period returns to Israel, and it is the time of the reaping of the wheat harvest.